Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to The DM with Audrey Brianne and Tyree.
Last week, we did a Q&A with costume designer Ann Dixon, which you should definitely check out.
And on this week's episode, we'll be doing an interview with costume designer Camille Benda. Bad Sisters is an Irish black comedy television series developed by Sharon Horgan, Dave Finkel, and Brett Baer, set in Dublin and filmed on location in Ireland. The five Garvey sisters, Ava, Grace, Ursula, Bibi, and Becca, live in present-day Dublin. After Grace's abusive, controlling husband, John Paul, dies unexpectedly, the sisters find themselves at the center of a life insurance investigation. Camille, welcome to the show. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got your start?
Hi, thank you for having me. I got my start trawling vintage clothing in Seattle in the 80s when I was a teenager. And I was a goth. And I thought I should wear all kinds of crazy stuff like British flags as skirts and military jackets cropped and cut up and old vintage belts. Then I studied classical studies and Slavic languages at the University of Washington. And at the very end of my studies there, I walked into the costume department and I just kind of said, "What is costume design?" And the mentor and head of costume there, Sarah Nash Gates, said to me, "Well, read this book." And she handed me a book and she said, "Come back." And then she let me design a fringe show at the University of Washington. And then I was completely hooked. It was a combination of storytelling, clothes, working with actors, working with directors. So that's how I started.
I'm going to segue a little bit into questions about Bad Sisters since it's getting ready to premiere season two. We were curious, how did you keep the clothing trend forward while being conscious of the weather, since this is filmed in Dublin, correct?
Between Dublin and London. Mm-hmm. So studio was in London, and then outdoor locations, indoor locations, pubs, things that had to look really Irish were in London.
So how did you keep, because like when it's warm out, I think people kind of joke that like it's hard to look cute and stay warm.
Yes.
How did you execute that and make sure that like you liked what people looked like on screen, given that the weather, you had to be conscious of that?
Well, they say, and it is true, that in Ireland, there's four seasons in one day. So we would start in the morning, in the dark, maybe in winter. And the actors would be bundled up in parkas and thermals and layers. And then by the afternoon, the sun might come out. In between, it might rain. And then at night, it might become cloudy. Not only costume, but makeup, hair, and the director of photography especially had to adjust to the different lighting conditions and the different weather conditions. We worked super closely with the brand Rains. And they did a lot of our really cool raincoats and off-camera parkas as well. We worked with Cozy Mac and we worked with Cocoon, which are two dry robe companies. So everybody was hopping in and out of dry robes, including the crew. We do spend a lot of time thinking about the layers in the show. Yeah. So when they're in interior scenes, they might have an amazing t-shirt or a lovely sweater. And then when they go out, we have to think about layers that still look stylish without looking too outdoorsy. So that was a balance that we sort of treaded between season one and two.
Cool. So this is definitely a very challenging question, but I'm going to try to pull something out of you. Did you have a favorite character wardrobe? And if so, why?
That's funny because when I was thinking about sort of the idea of what would I talk about if there was a favorite costume or something, it is really hard to pick. It's very hard to pick. There's a really, I guess I should say, easy through line that is our showrunner, the writer, and the star of the show, Sharon Horgan, has such a great personal style herself that really does permeate the design for the show because she has her own cool style that is effortless and super relaxed. That's really what women in London and Dublin do best. They dress in layers, they dress for weather, but they also will mix unexpected patterns, they'll mix unexpected fabrics. Because of the weather, they can try out all kinds of different things. Versus here in LA, there's kind of actually slightly a restriction on what you can wear because you can't layer up beautiful winter wool coats. I would say that Sharon was really the inspiration for the look of the show. And then
we
sort of varied from there and branched out.
That's cool. I've never heard an answer like that, that the, is it the showrunner or the writer of the show, Sharon? What is her?
Both. So,
oh, okay.
She's credited as the writer and exec producer, and she's also the main actor. Finding out about her style meant that I was really influenced by actually all the five actresses because they all came to set with amazing pieces and they all have their own individual perspective on fashion.
You're going right into the next question, which is how did you differentiate the clothing style between the sisters? Like, what was your approach to that, knowing that you had so many different characters that are familial? Like, how did you go about making sure each one had a distinct style?
That's a really good question because in the show, there's a lot of ensemble moments and scenes with a lot of family celebrations like Christmas, Easter, funerals, weddings. So one thing we had to do was figure out how the girls could have separate through lines in their clothes, but also be harmonious when they were all on camera together. We did that really through fittings with the actors. Originally, in season one, we met with each of the main five actresses multiple times and talked about what they thought the character was. So it didn't come from starting with, oh, what kind of style do you like? It came from who is your character and how would they use their clothes? That was where we kind of started. And then we branched out from there. So Bibi, for instance, is very controlled, very organized, very buttoned up with her emotions. Yeah. And so we went for a dark neutral palette. We went for less color, while Becca could be anything that she wanted to be. So we went with clashing patterns, layering, mixing vintage and modern. And she's the one that possibly we can play the most. It kind of varied depending on what character. And then every time we had a group scene, I would make up some costume boards and mood boards and send them to Sharon and Dervla Walsh and our other directors to take a look and see if they felt like the harmony was there and the characterization was there.
It's a lot of work sending mood boards for like every ensemble scene.
Yeah, we did it with most of the major ones because we also wrapped in hair and makeup. Nicola Schiller is the head of hair and makeup on the show. Such a great friend and such a great collaborator. We had a wonderful little sort of bubble in the unit base where Nicola and I had actors going back and forth between costume and hair and makeup. It was a wonderful way to work because Nicola is super collaborative. And so we had a wonderful time putting the looks together. The other thing we did was wrap in the production designer. So the first season, it was Mark Garrity. Second season, Candida Otten. They're both brilliant. And so we found out what the set looks like, what the colors of the couch look like, what the walls, what the art. That meant that we could really have a cohesive look for the show.
I was going to ask, were there clothing similarities between the husband and wife or female-male characters like Grace and JP or like Becca with the motorcycle guy? I can't think of his name right now.
Matt.
Yes. Did you have, they were wearing like similar colors or like, how did you balance the couples with wardrobing?
That's a really good question. So in terms of couples, Bibi, who plays the more controlled sister, and she's played by Sarah Green, is usually in, like we talked about, darks, neutrals, cream, navy. But she's part of a same-sex couple with her partner, Nora, who's actually more floral, more flowy. And Nora is embracing color, embracing pattern. And so they're actually the most interesting couple, I think, in the show in terms of design harmony, is that when you see them in their beautiful architectural minimalist house on the sea, you see these two very different people with their young son. I think that's the most interesting couple, was that their styles are actually very different. And that happens in real life too.
Yeah.
I think another big change was Grace, the sister from season one, who was married to JP, the prick. She was dressing like him or similar to him, what he would approve of in season one.
Yeah.
Season two, she has a new man.
Ooh.
He's more dashing, Irish, sort of mysterious and romantic. And so we changed her costume to reflect that. More jeans, more casual, a little bit more figure hugging, and a little bit more open with a lot of color. So her journey moving from one couple to another couple was a really interesting one to track.
Cool.
Is there any country in particular that you seem to source the majority of your clothing from?
One of the goals was to make sure that we represented Irish designers. The wedding dress for Anne-Marie Duff, who plays Grace, is from Helen Cody, who's an event designer. And she sent us this incredible lookbook of different things that she had. And this dress ended up being perfect. Almost no alterations either.
That's it was just a perfect dress.
And rare. Yeah. We used a lot of brands from both Ireland and England, including Jumper 1234, which make amazing cashmeres, Celtic & Co., which did gorgeous knitwear and a lot of sheepskin boots. And one of my personal favorites from Ireland is Fishermen Out of Ireland. And they're a company that make men's knitwear from Erin Knits. And they are just the most beautiful colors. And because they're knitted there and they're local, they also reflect the landscape.
Continuing on with that question, did you have any challenges securing specific clothing, given the time of year or the place that you were filming location-wise?
Not really. I feel like because we were there and we were shooting roughly close to the script, in terms of weather and time frame, not always. I don't think we had any trouble season-wise, but what we did have is because of Brexit, Ireland and England have different shipping laws. And that meant that sometimes we actually had a costume assistant get on a plane and do the 45-minute plane flight rather than try to wait for shipping for 2 days and find out if it didn't make it. That was kind of one of the ways that we got around things, that if we had someone shopping in London or someone shopping in Dublin, we would send things back and forth.
Cool. That's really nice. You were able to utilize that, planes versus having to be hopeful about shipping, because I'm sure that can just be up in the air when it comes to shipping and customs and all the rules.
Yeah, and I think because there is actually a lot of action in the show, what would happen is we'd do fittings and then we'd have to be standing by knowing that if we needed six of something, we could get it in London at this store or from the supplier. Or if we needed six of a custom knit sweater, we could definitely get it from an Irish supplier. What would happen is as soon as we finished a fitting, the word would go out to my amazing assistant costume designer, Anna Josephs, and my equally amazing costume supervisor, Jessica Barthrop. And they would kind of disseminate the notes, get people to buy all the multiples and get them back to Ireland or London, where we are filming, as soon as possible.
Awesome. What, if any, are some of your rules when using pattern on screen?
It's interesting. I lived in London for 13 years. The way that everyone uses pattern there is something I absolutely love. For instance, you might clash a floral pattern with stripes. I think this happens in New York and around the world as well, but I think there's something really great about the way London women dress. And then in season one, I spent a lot of time getting to know how women in Dublin and Belfast dress. And I really love the experimental style and the mixing, not only mixing patterns, but also mixing textures and colors. So clashing colors you wouldn't think go together, mm-hmm. and also clashing maybe like a leather sheepskin coat with a pair of denim jeans with something else. There were no rules except clash it.
Or the merrier.
Yes.
So there are a lot of flashback scenes. Can you talk about continuity and if there's a continuity Bible?
There is a continuity Bible, and okay. we tracked it in a hard copy because I'm a little old school. I started doing film costume like 15 or more years ago. So yeah. I remember the days of when I was an assistant costume designer, you would make a big, heavy costume Bible that was hand printed. And then you would stick the printed photographs in it with some glue. Now we use Sync on Set on Bad mm-hmm. Sisters. So we use that program to track all the changes and track all the flashbacks. So mm-hmm. everything goes into the program, including the pictures and the notes. And then that does actually get printed into a physical Bible, but it mm-hmm. also got put together into lookbooks that we made. Wow. And what we did was track every look, and we continued to add the looks as the seasons built. So now we have a lookbook of all of the main characters from season one straight through season two that tracks their
purpose. Wow, that's incredible.
That's really a cool resource to have. Yeah. I've never heard of a... And not that others don't maybe do it, but I've never heard of doing it that way, of not just the continuity Bible, but also having a lookbook.
Yeah.
Very in-depth.
It helped a ton, because what it meant was in season two, I could show the actors what they looked like in season one, what yeah. their arc was, and then what should we do in season two?
That's wow. so cool. I love that. There's a lot of wardrobing between the families, including kids. If you had to guess, how many costumes would you say were used for this show?
Oh my gosh. I mean, including the smaller characters and crowd scenes, it definitely goes into the thousands over
yeah.
the two seasons. I think for season one, I did estimate that for the main five actresses, mm-hmm. we had between like 350 and 400 looks for them combined. Wow. Because yeah. they changed maybe one to three times every episode, sometimes more, sometimes mm-hmm. less. That was across 10 episodes for season one.
That is so much work. Oh my wow. goodness.
This is incredible. Talking about season two, what are some wardrobe changes viewers can expect in season two?
So we have two new characters. Well, three actually, that have very different wardrobes. So the first is Fiona Shaw, who plays Angelica, Roger's sister. And she is an absolute delight. And fittings were a masterclass for me in how actors think about their character. It was just some of the best times. And Fiona had thoughts about how her closet could have been accumulated over 40 years and mm-hmm. how she might wear something that was 30 years old to a funeral because she doesn't wear it that often. It was actually hard to make her look behind the times because everything she put on that was vintage from maybe the 90s or something like that just looked incredible on her. We also used a lot of outerwear. We gave her kind of a quirky, sensible look. Then we had Thadia Graham, who plays Una Houlihan, had been inhabiting the Garda station for years.
Yeah.
So we went with kind of a relaxed, understated, cool look for work. And at the beginning, Fergal Loftus, her boss, makes fun of her clothes. And then by the end, he kind of accepts her as who she is and makes an offhanded comment about he gets the way she dresses. And so we got to try some really cool looks with her, some sort of business looks that didn't look too stuffy. Our third new main character, who was Grace's love interest, is Owen McDonnell, who plays Ian. Owen McDonnell was our new love interest for Grace, and he's a classic Irish heartthrob. He's bringing the romance and the mystery to the show. And so instead of doing anything fashion forward with him, we kept it incredibly classic and incredibly tied to the landscape and how Ireland looks naturally. So we went with a beautiful dark brown waxed dewberry jacket. We featured a lot of gorgeous knitwear from fishermen out of Ireland in colors that complemented Owen's natural kind of dark hair. We did really casual, well-fitted jeans that I actually found in a thrift shop. And they were already worn in, already gorgeous, fit him perfectly. And then we did some beautiful boots, leather boots, to kind of polish off the outfit. So he actually stays quite minimal and understated.
Nice. What would you tell someone that is wanting to get into costume design and have it as a career?
I would say, first of all, have a love of history and a love of research and a love of bringing history alive. And then I would say, really have a love of storytelling and a passion for collaboration, because what we do as costume designers and stylists and teachers every single day is we collaborate with designers, actors, directors, producers, all of our fellow creative team. So I would say love storytelling and love collaboration. Also love problem solving, because there is always going to be something. Filming is always a challenge because you're trying to do more and you're trying to innovate and you're trying to find new ways of doing things. And that naturally means that things are going to come up, either time or challenges with geography, like we had going between Ireland and London. But because of that, if you're a strong problem solver, that's going to help you every step of the way. And the last part is just embrace the chaos.
That is good advice. So the last question is, what is next for Camille Binda and where can our listeners find your work?
Okay, so next, I'm just turning in the manuscript for my second book, which is called Bending the Rules, Fashion Beyond the Binary. And that comes out in fall 2025 through Princeton Architectural Press. And that I don't have an exact date on that yet. Bad Sisters comes out season 2, November 13th, and runs until Christmas Day. I also have my Instagram at Camille Benda, and I'll be posting a whole bunch of behind the scenes, different brands, different things we used, pictures of environments, textures, our wonderful crew. That's something that people can look up if they want. And then my first book, Dressing the Resistance, is out. It came out in 2021. And that is something I also teach at CalArts. And I have an Instagram for that, which is at Dressing the Resistance.
You are busy, my friend. Listen to all this. I'm like, because 2021 to 20, well, you've been working on it. So to 2024, that's just not a lot of time in between having books.
Well, I had already started the idea for the second book, like before the first book.
Oh, okay.
It's the last year of a book. Is it going through the process with the publisher and being edited and being designed? So by the time I turned the book in March 2020, I had kind of already started the idea for the next one.
So cool. And we will be sure that our viewers, we will have, guys, for you links to her book and to her Instagram, just so that if you want to follow along, you can do so. And that wraps up our interview. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been so nice to talk to both of you.
Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of the DM with Audrey Brand and Tyree, where we did an interview with Camille Benda. You'll find links to Camille's homepage and social media in the description box below. A special thank you to Nearby Sound for our theme song.
If you enjoyed the show, please introduce your friends to our work, rate, review, and follow. Check us out on thedm.net or on Instagram at Audrey Brienne and at Tyree Style. The DM is produced by DB Sound, Audrey Brienne, and Tyree.